It is good to remind ourselves that we are a part of something that is much bigger than ourselves, and certainly much bigger than Cloverdale Baptist Church. And the history of the church, the confessions and creeds that have gone before us, remind us of the importance of sound doctrine and of the importance of realizing the part in history that we play. It's significant that it's Advent. It's significant because we want to be a congregation that is radically focused on Jesus, that understands the context of his coming and all that that has meant, and we want to be a people who never forget the richness of what it means that Jesus invaded history, that Emmanuel, God with us, is a reality that not only impacted Mary and Joseph and all that would see him and respond to him, either negatively or positively, but also continues to impact us. And as we study the scriptures that are very pertinent to what happened there, it's good for us to remember that these are real people. Perhaps their culture was different. Well, not just perhaps, for sure. But reality is that when we talk about Mary and when we discuss Joseph and we see who the innkeepers were, at least what is revealed about them, we have to remember that like us, they had hopes and dreams. Like us, they had concerns and perhaps anxieties. And like us, when they saw Jesus, there was a shattered silence. The shock of what was happening. And in fact, I don't think it's possible to read the story of Christmas and to understand it biblically without at least acknowledging the way this must have impacted them. And I hope in looking at their lives and looking through their eyes at Jesus and what he has done, it can impact us. We want to look at responses to Jesus. Particularly, we want to understand what they must have felt in terms of what's revealed in the Bible so that we can feel those things. We can be those who respond and surrender and live with hope in the midst of what might be difficult in terms of following the call of God, in terms of obeying God. Obedience is difficult. Oh, you can coast and pretend that you're religious, but when you truly have a relationship with Jesus that drives and defines you, that relationship, especially as you learn to hear from God's word what he desires from you and what he has for you, will shatter your reality. Not in a bad way, but certainly from the perspective of the world in a way that destroys what the world values and almost always will destroy how the world sees your success. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, if you could open them with me to Luke chapter 1, Luke gives one of the richest descriptions of the birth of Jesus, certainly Matthew and Luke. If you want to look at a more eternal perspective, John is very helpful. Mark is short and to the point, as he is with most of what he does. But Luke introduces us to people and their interactions with angels and the breathtaking way that God is accomplishing his plan and his purpose, and he's doing it through humans like us. Or perhaps we might even say humans weaker than us, although if you are a young teenage girl, then this text is particularly for you. I hope we can learn from this teenage girl how to be those who hear the plan of God, understand the value we have to God, and then live in full surrender regardless of the cost that is on our lives. And I hope we learn from this to value men and women, but particularly in this case, women, or I suppose teenage girls, who are chosen by God to accomplish his will. So I hope we can see not only the plan of God at work in Mary's life and time and for all eternity through her impacting us, but also to see that we're a part of that. So that we will be shocked with her, shocked at what happens to her and the way that must have impacted her life as this earthquake of information impacted her and her dreams and her reality. But I also hope that through her eyes and through the work of God in her life and her response to that work, we can learn how we too should be like her when it comes to living our lives in the presence of God, in the power of God, for the glory of God, as we seek to understand and follow His plan for our lives. God uses ordinary people in His sovereignty to accomplish His work. It's actually breathtaking. But as He does that, there is a response that needs to come from those that He is using. And that response we can see very clearly in the lives of the Christmas people in what is perhaps for us the second or maybe third most important part of history. If we include the death and resurrection of Jesus, I think is the most important. The return of Jesus is perhaps the second most important. Certainly the incarnation and all that it means in the context of those realities is a powerful, life-changing concept that is real and relevant to our lives. I want to pick it up in Luke chapter 1. I want to start in verse 26. And then I want to read really just to verse 38. I was going to read on and we'd see Mary's response of submission and praise. We'll see that in part of the message. I'll read that as we go. In the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus," or Yahweh saves. "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Shocking, would that not be? And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" We won't take the time to compare this to Zechariah's response of a lack of faith. This is not a lack of faith. We'll see that later in Mary's response. This is rather confusion. How is it possible for someone who is a virgin to give birth to a child? How is it possible for God to invade history in this way? Some scholars say that this was an expectation, that there were a number of young ladies who would have loved to be the father or mother related to the Messiah, the mother of the Messiah. I doubt it. There have been 400 years of silence. 400 years where this nation must have wondered where God had went. They were under severe oppression from Rome. They had been under severe oppression from other governments as well. This was a people who felt beat up. And now God was exploding their world. Mary was poor. We'll see that also later in the sacrifices she gives after the birth of Jesus. Now she responds, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" A legitimate question, and a question in the context of faith. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." We see here the full deity of Jesus as well as his full humanity. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren." I love this. This is so key to our obedience to God, for nothing will be impossible with God. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.'" I think maybe the greatest mark of submission outside of Jesus in the entire Bible. "And the angel departed from her." This is an amazing story of an amazing young lady. An example for us of what it means to commit ourselves fully to God and to be a part of His plan, even if the plan interrupts what was not an easy life, but certainly a life that would have had dreams. If you have ever felt that God was silent in the midst of your life, all of Israel would have felt this, 400 years of silence. If you have ever felt like your life, although going okay, is just beginning, and then something stops what was your dreams. Mary certainly would have understood that. She was betrothed. This is not the same as our engagement, although certainly you could start to understand it a little bit. Her life was committed to this man, Joseph. They would have had plans together. This commitment would have been one that could only be broken by divorce. It was a commitment of purity. Some say this was a test time to make sure that she was as pure as she claimed to be. And now, in the plan of God, that is going to be shattered. Well, not her purity, but how everyone else would perceive her to be. I've called this a shattering interruption. A shattering interruption. God has a very special plan for Mary, but it doesn't include her plans. Her plans were to be like any other poor Jewish teenage girl, to get married, to have a family, to succeed in that family. She now had a carpenter that she loved, also someone who was poor, but was a righteous man, and their plans together were exciting. The families would have been excited. There was a future for her that security that brings would have promised. The message of the angel. And remember, only to her, although includes her family, and we'll see that that's a blessing to her if we continue on in her life, but the message to her was simply this: you, O virgin, will be with child. Not from any man, but from Almighty God. Some have asked, is the virgin birth important to us as Christians? And the answer is yes. Actually, it's essential because Jesus had to be fully God and fully man. He had to have that divine character to be the eternal Son of God for him to pay the penalty for our sins. Mary, you're going to get pregnant. Now, I've had in my ministry life one person who came to me who was pregnant, and they said to me, I've never understood why this baby is here, because what makes a baby didn't happen to me. And do you know what I thought? Perhaps you blacked out. Perhaps there's something going on psychologically that I don't understand, but I guarantee you that I believe that what needs to happen to make a baby happen to that lady who shared that with me. What do you think that Mary's parents thought? Or extended family? Or others? Now, all of a sudden, what was supposed to be a plan for a wonderful life is shattered by something that is far greater, and yet something she, if we understand what some of the mocking of Jesus was, will never fully recover from. The plan of God for her, as revealed by the angel and then responded to by Mary, was one that was miraculous, powerful, impacting all sorts of others, and yet would have been both shocking and shattering and interrupting to her life on earth. God's plan often includes shock to those who are his children. I don't know why God chose Mary. The text tells us it's because of his grace. It also tells us it's because she was highly favored. I do know that she was the perfect choice for what God had in mind for her and through her for us. But imagine with me for a moment, hearing from an angel that was terrifying to you that your life would be one that confused everyone else. Imagine your dreams now disappearing. How would Joseph respond? Some say, and I think perhaps gently accurately, that she could even have been put to death for being pregnant with a baby that was not from Joseph, her betrothed. What was going to happen to her? How could she continue to function and to live, this woman, young girl, teenage girl who had dedicated her life to God and now had that shifted? I'm not sure how you would respond. But I hope in the power of the Holy Spirit you would respond as Mary did. I think her response is one of the things that makes her one of the most magnificent humans who have ever lived. I've called this a submissive response. Now please hear me, there are those in history who have worshipped Mary. Mary is not to be worshipped, and she would be horrified by those who do. She can't pray for us, for she is in glory as one who is saved by grace through faith. There's all sorts of false teaching about her in the history of the church that has led to all sorts of confusion and misunderstanding. Unfortunately, sometimes that's even seeped into Protestant churches, Baptist churches, where we've avoided learning from her what is such a powerful lesson for us. Not only that God sometimes invades our life in terms of his sovereign plan, in terms of his favor on us, with something that will shatter our lives, but also, this is how to respond. Verse 38 of this text, I find overwhelming, highlighted notes in my Bible. I want this to be my response when God's call on me is clear through his word. Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Behold, I am his fully. Regardless of the cost that is to me, let it be to me according to your word. This is full surrender to a radical shift in her dreams, in her aspirations, in her entire life. She understood and believed not only that nothing is impossible to God, verse 37, she believed that about God. We're going to see that a little bit more in terms of her understanding and dependence upon God for this response that she gives. But not only do we understand that, we see her saying, not only, God, are you all-powerful, God, I belong to you. And whatever you choose in terms of your plan for my life is one that I will choose with you regardless of the cost it is to me and my dreams and my family and my friends. I can imagine her thinking as she responds to this in confusion, God, I believe you can do this. God, I am your servant. But what will happen to me? What will people think? What will Joseph think? God, I'm not sure that your plan and my plan mix. But her self-understanding, in fact, I would say they don't mix at all. Her self-understanding as being a servant of God and in full submission to his revealed word to her meant that her only logical response was one of full submission. God, I am yours. God, I am all in. God, I surrender fully. And this young girl, some say as young as 12, I think probably more like 13, 14, 15, this young girl has become for us a model of what it means to understand and then follow the plan of God regardless of the cost in your life. She is submissive fully. This, to me, is not only a wonderful, delighting part of Jesus coming and of all that Jesus did, this is a model for us of how we are to respond in our lives. A shattering interruption. God tends to work this way. We'll see that in our implications. A submissive response. I am your servant. May it be to me according to your word, regardless of the cost to my own life and my own dreams. And then what I've called a substantive reliance. Why was she able to do this? What allowed her to be this kind of person where so often what we see in our own lives and so often what we see in others' lives is a willingness to use the words, but when the plan of God and our own plans come into conflict, the struggle we have with giving up our own plans and our own dreams and our own desires in full submission to God, to live the Luke 9:23 life, the fully crucified life, the person who's driven and defined by their relationship with Jesus. How do we get this? And her view of God, not only in alignment with what the angel said, with God, nothing is impossible, that full understanding of the power of God, but then in her response in song. And I do want to take the time to read the song and just reflect with you on some of the things that she declares in her faith. This kind of faith in God, this view of God, remember the quote from A.W. Tozer, what comes into your mind when you think about God is the most important thing about you. That That for Mary was this God, the God who has revealed himself in the Bible, so that when this shattering interruption occurred, her heart said, I'm your servant. I don't fully understand the cost. I know it will be big. I don't fully understand the plan. I know you can accomplish it, but God, I am yours. I am all in. This is the God she knew, and the God that we can know. Listen to her response to her world being shattered. She visits with Elizabeth. I love this in terms of community. If we had the time, I'd walk you through it. I think we need each other. And here's Elizabeth encouraging her, affirming God's plan in her life. John the Baptist leaping in the womb, the value of children even from the womb. It's just an amazing story. Here is Mary's view of the God of the Bible, inspired by the Holy Spirit, but overflowing from this teenager's heart. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. Oh, God, you promised. Oh, God, you're coming through. Oh, God, you're all powerful. I remember as you revealed yourself to the nation of Israel, you have done great things in the past. You have done great things in my own life. God, you are all powerful. God, you are holy, she declares. Set apart, completely other, deserving of all of our devotion and worship. You are worthy of my life. God, your mercy rests on those who fear you. Listen, Mary is amazing, but she was not perfect. She was a sinner who fell short of the glory of God. She did not deserve, in her own right, to be the mother of Jesus. And yet, his mercy was real to her. She feared him. She obeyed him. God, you reward those who obey you. She took all of her dreams, all of the things she had thought of that would happen to her. You think of Joseph and her family and all of those things that this girl who wanted to be like Jesus, well, I suppose later wanted to be like Jesus, wanted to obey God, all of those things. And she put them on a scale and she said, obedience and your plan for me, regardless of the cost, is far greater. And I do think she glimpsed the greatness of that plan because of the revelation from God of the angel, but certainly would not have understood it fully, as you find later in her rebuke of Jesus and even the confusion she had at the foot of the cross. God, you're merciful. Your mercy rests on those who fear you. God, you have incredible strength. You are all powerful, and your power is at work in its personal nature. You notice the humble. You lift up the humble. You feed the hungry. You care about us. Here's a teenage girl who knew the Bible so well that she could reflect back and pull out from that the character of God. God, I will take you at your word, even when life and your word are confusing and in conflict. She knew God. She trusted God. And so she surrendered to God. This is why it is so important for us always to be those who seek to know the God of the Bible so well that when we're called to be a part of God's plan, our response is confident submission. Humble submission for sure, but confident that God's plan is best. I am your servant. May it be as you have said. I am your servant. I will walk regardless of the cost to accomplish what you desire in my life, through my life, for your glory. What did this mean for Mary? Well, I want to start on what we have reflected on in terms of the shattering of dreams. But I want to move very quickly from that to say, for all eternity, Mary will be called blessed. for all eternity, Mary has been, as a teenage girl and then on in terms of being a part of the life of Jesus, someone that we will look on now, today we look on and value and rejoice in terms of God using her in her weaknesses, and someone who had the privilege, as no one else in history, to literally be pregnant with the Son of God, who is the Son of Man. Her response gave her, in the midst of the loss of her dreams, perhaps the most privileged place in all eternity. And so you might be saying, Pastor, this is a great story. Pastor, we understand the value of Mary, and she's amazing, and the fact that God would take a 13, 14, 15-year-old girl and use her in this way, the fact that she would respond so profoundly in the midst of what would have been a shattering of her plans, her earthly plans, that's a great story about Mary, but how does this impact me? How do we take this story and apply it to our lives? Well, I'm glad you asked. I want to start with this. Remember the importance of faith. What I mean by this is you will respond to life in terms of what you believe. So in terms of implications, we know what Mary believed because the Bible tells us. And when this pressure came upon her life, her response in submission was based on her faith. And we know more than Mary did. For we know the full plan of God in terms of what he accomplished in Jesus, the Son of Mary and the Son of God. We know that this Savior came through her, lived a perfect life, died on the cross, rose again, and now is living forevermore, and in that death paid the penalty for our sins, in the resurrection guaranteed our eternal life, and in the power of the Spirit whom he has sent gives us the strength and the courage and the conviction to do his will. Brothers and sisters, we should be significantly more confident and significantly more submissive, if that is possible, because we know the plan of God from this side. Mary only knew it from this side. What do you believe about God? Do you believe in him for salvation, which is so essential? Have you built on that in terms of not only your faith in Jesus to pay the penalty for your sins, the delight in his resurrection to know him and to relate to him and to live for all eternity, but do you also realize in the midst of anything that happens to you, the shattering in your life, that God loves you and that God has a plan for you? Do you believe in the God of the Bible? When Laura and I had the privilege of ministering to people that were coming out of a persecuted country, we asked the pastors what their greatest need was for us to pray for and to equip them in, and their answer was, there's a lot of false doctrine, prosperity gospel going on in the country that they're from, and people are celebrating and believing that God will give them earthly desires. And then when God doesn't, they're devastated. Our faith needs to be in the God of the Bible, not a God that's made up by culture or imaginations. Our faith needs to be one who, when we respond, we say, I am your servant. May it be as you have said. I will do whatever you want. I, if we use 1 Corinthians 6 language, am bought with a price, and I will honor you with my body, with all that I am and all that I have. I belong to you. It's a first love devotion because we are so loved. Mary got it. I want it. And I long for it in all of us, this growing understanding of who God is and what God has done from his word, as Mary had in the Old Testament, as we have both, so that we will respond in this kind of way. I know this week that some of you have had shattered lives. If I shared some of the pain that I have heard this week, you would be with me weeping and overwhelmed. And I know some of you haven't shared that with me, but I know this. If we have faith in the God of the Bible, then our response to whatever comes our way in terms of our interaction with God will be I am your servant. May it be according to your word. May it be according to what you have revealed to me authoritatively in your word. I want a faith like Mary's in a Christ that's revealed in his word. Secondly, I've called this, remember the individuality of function. May I say it in perhaps a simpler way? If you belong to God, if you've responded to God in faith, then the Holy Spirit is in you. You have been baptized by the Holy Spirit, and God has a plan for your life, and that plan is a part of his eternal plan, and he wants you to engage and say, as Mary did, here I am your servant, I want to do what you desire for me to do. May it be according to your word. God wants and has planned to use you in such a way that we will look back from eternity and praise him because of what you have done in your life by representing him. God has, if you want to use Ephesians 2:10 language, good works for you to do, which he prepared in advance. In other words, he's got a plan. He's got an eternal plan. And you're a part of it. That's how special you are. Now please hear me. It might mean pain. It might mean a shattered life. Oh, there's all sorts of things it could mean in terms of the temporary, but the eternal impact in terms of God's choice of you and God's making you his work of art is so powerful and so great that if you see that as the privilege it is, then your desire and joy will be to serve him with all of your might all of the time. Do you realize how much you matter to God? Clarify very clearly as I can for you, that doesn't mean your life here on earth will be easy. In fact, I think the opposite. Look what happened to the disciples of Jesus. Every single one of them but John died a martyr's death. I'm putting Paul in the place of Judas. And John's life, as you know, was extremely painful, and eventually one that also, in that pain, went to be with his Lord. I don't know what pain will come your way. I am sometimes overwhelmed as people share with me what is going on in their lives. But I know this, if you belong to him, and if your faith is strong, and if you open your hands and you say, I am your servant, may it be according to your word, then you can know this beyond a shadow of a doubt. God has a plan for your life. And when we get to eternity, we'll look at each other in his mercy and rejoice that he used you to shape that eternity. Oh, I know it's not going to be the same as Mary. I get that her being used by God in this way is exclusive to her, the one person in all of history that is used this way. But may I share with you that you are the one person God has chosen for the plan he has for you to use to shape eternity in all of eternity? See, not only is God real and God relevant, in other words, understands what's going on, but he's relational and he knows you and has you as a part of his plan, and that is overwhelming and amazing and extremely difficult. Because, as with Mary, often his plan will shatter yours. Third implication. First implication, make sure you know the God of the Bible. Make sure you're walking by faith. Second implication, make sure you realize how important you are to God in terms of accomplishing his purpose and plans. Thirdly, remember the irresistibility of fellowship. Fellowship with God and fellowship with others. For Mary, we didn't spend a lot of time on this, but for Mary, Elizabeth came, and when she was in the midst of what must have been horrifying for her, in the midst of what might have been her death, as people realized she was pregnant, in the midst of Joseph maybe abandoning her, it sure looked like he would until God invaded Joseph's life, in the midst of people who must have made false accusations, either against her and Joseph, or certainly against her and maybe Roman soldiers, as the rumor later was to be, or who knows, the chaos of all of that, she had the encouragement of God through God's people. Fellowship with God's people is essential. Being a part of the family of God, we'll see that developed in the rest of the New Testament, the importance and and a sensuality of the local church and the representation of that for all of history. But even more than that, although that is important, she had fellowship with God. She knew the God of the Bible. Her faith was not what we would call empty faith. Her hope, not just a gentle wish, but this passion and understanding that the God of the Bible was one that knew her and loved her and one she knew and responded to. She was, and we have much more capability than her, driven and defined by her relationship with Almighty God. Oh, that we would be those kind of people. A first love devotion people. Church history tells us that Mary was eventually being taken care of by John. They went together to a town that I have actually visited, seen where they think Mary was buried as well as where John was buried as well, and the place was called Ephesus. Jesus, the risen Lord, walked among the churches, and he walked in the context of that church, as you know, from the book of Revelation. And I want to emphasize this, because a church that was planted by Paul, shepherded by Timothy and perhaps John, attended by Mary, was a church that in the midst of doing all sorts of other things had lost their first love devotion. And so today we will take the time in communion to reflect and recommit and understand what is going on in terms of this. But let's be those who learn from Mary. Learn from Mary that we need to be those who walk by faith all of the time. And when the silence is shattered by what God wants from us and what God has for us, to be those who with open hands say, "Here I am, I'm your servant. May it be to me according to your word." And then let's be those who, in the confidence of the individuality of the plan of God for our lives, walk in that faith. And in the midst of our pain, see the plan of God. In the midst of the chaos of the world around us, see that God loves us and God is at work in us and through us. And yes, Mary, special in all of history, but guess what? If Ephesians 2:10 is true, if Titus 2 is true, then so are those whom God treasures as individuals and a part of his family, so are you. In fact, incredibly, when Mary and Jesus' brothers came to Jesus and said, "You need to stop, you're going crazy, you need to stop what you're doing," Jesus said, My family are those who do my will." May we be those who represent him well, who live in an all-defining first love devotion relationship with him, who understand the importance of who God has made us for his plan, and then in full submission, regardless of the cost, say, in the shattering perhaps of our dreams and hopes, in the midst of whatever may come our way, "I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your word, for this precious woman you chose in your eternal plan to be the mother of our Lord. We call her blessed today. We learn from her and her response to you how we can know you better and respond to you as she did in full surrender and submission. We long to be those who with open hands will allow our dreams to be shattered and your plan to be followed. God, would you work in the power of your Spirit in each of our hearts that we might be those with open hands who say to you, "We belong to you. May it be as you have revealed in your word," that we might be those who will love in your stead, who will reach those around us in our sphere of influence on your behalf, who will accomplish what you desire, so that in your grace, as trophies of grace for all eternity, we will thank you for the privilege and the blessing and the magnifying of your name that will come from being a part of your plan. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.